There needs to be more bands in Scotland. By the way, we figured out what he said. Run Rig, Deacon Blue, and Hip Sway. All three are checked out to be Scottish bands. So there you go. We have cracked the code. We have translated our good friend from the Tartan Army.
It is Rich. Deacon Blue and Hip Sway.
There you go. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson, who is on vacation today over here on 93.7 WEI. Oh, I've heard this song.
Who did it first? That's my question. Is this a Rod Stewart song or is this a Run Rig song?
Great question.
I have no idea. I'm going to give Run Rig the credit. Why not?
Sure.
We have here in studio a gentleman who I can't wait to talk to because out of all the points of this season that you could say are the lowest, this was without a doubt. We are at rock, but we're below rock bottom. We are at the bottom of the ocean.
McFarland to you all. Is that Scottish?
McFarland.
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
There you go. Brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. I don't even know where to start with you.
I'll start here. Ken's chemistry with that reporter yesterday was off the chart.
Cat and I?
All right, Cat, yeah.
I'm half Scottish. I mean.
By the end of the interview, you were full Scottish.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I DM'd her after the show. I said, seeing what kind of magic I can work.
Well, I mean, I don't know why you showed up in a kilt. Yeah, that was a great interview. I really enjoyed that. It was awesome.
She's great. Yeah. And as I said, like it's going to be a fun weekend. They're here for like 10 days, I guess.
The kilts are all over the place.
They're everywhere here. Yeah. And I guess Sunday's is it Sunday or Saturday? Oh, Sunday, because Saturday's the game.
Saturday's the game, yeah. Some are coming tonight, and they have the march on Sunday, according to Kat.
But there's like thousands, literally thousands coming on Sunday after that march. They've all got tickets. So get ready.
Believe me. We're sending one of the play Tessie guys into the heart of that march. There's no, you have to. You just, the last time we had a march here, a GM got fired. So, like, who knows? I don't know. I mean, that was the Dodgers fans marching down Lansdowne. But, it's been crazy. I will say this. There was a little bit of breaking news today as I was walking here.
Okay.
I have flushed out Dustin Pedroia to finally get on Instagram.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that mean anything? I mean,
I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I just put up a picture of me wearing a T-shirt. He said, PD1515 says, dang, Rob, mixing a push-up. I said, is that you chirping me on Instagram? And he's like, yes. So I'm like, okay.
All right.
There we go. You know, baby steps here to get Pedroia back here, but there you go.
Well, maybe that does mean something. Who knows? I know that when Sam Kennedy was on with Greg Hill the other day, they talked about a lot of things, as I'm sure a lot of clips of these, you know, they got a ton of publicity. But one question that was asked was, they said, have you been talking to anybody? Like, and they mentioned Dustin Pedroia specifically.
Yeah.
And Sam Kennedy actually answered that by saying, I talked to him a lot. Now, he obviously was trying to play out or play it off as if there was anything important that, you know, recently that they've discussed, like managing the team. But does that sound like something Pedroia might one day want to go into?
One day is relative, Rich. One day.
Yeah.
And I do think they would love to have Dustin Pedroia as part of this equation. But Dustin Pedroia, you know, first of all, it would be absolutely have to, for him to move across the country and turn his life upside down. It wasn't going to be like you're going to be in the legend suite waving your hand in the fourth inning for whatever, how much money you're paid. So I think they would have to be substantial. And right now, as we sit here, there is no scenario where you would bring in a Dustin Pedroia and be like, okay, that's substantial. Like,
the
manager, no. GM, no. You know, advisor to the GM, no.
What about a co-GM? Like, they have a coordinator on offense and
defense.
Okay,
all right, how would that work? Like,
Breslow handles pitching.
Right.
Dustin handles
hitting. What happens when Dustin Pedroia says, hey, Brez, I think your pitching ideas stink?
Well, he can't say that. Brez handles
pitching. You can't, but again, how's that going to, which may have been part of the problem in the former regime. I don't know.
I have an idea, man. It's not a finalized. I'm just what's working material here, you know?
I get it. So you're workshopping answers to the Red Sox, which is... Nothing wrong with that because we're all workshopping answers.
I don't have any reason to believe that Pedroia and ownership don't have a good relationship. They paid him a ton of money, obviously, when he was here.
Oh, they have a great relationship.
That's what I was about to say.
He's a big John Henry guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because what would you see if, I mean, because it does sound like Sam Kennedy has been trying to get him involved in this team in some way. Like, what position ideally do you think that they are looking to have him fill?
None. I mean, they would love him to fill a lot of positions, but he's not going
to
fill them.
Well, if what do you think they are trying to get him to fill?
They want him to come in here and be part, probably, I'm guessing, part of the organization in some capacity where, it, you know, for instance, Craig Breslow does not have a guy, a dissenting view advisor type guy. Yeah. Like, for instance, the Texas Rangers have a guy named Dayton Moore, used to be the Kansas City Royals GM.
Yeah.
He's that guy for them.
Is he a no guy? Is that what you're saying? Like someone who goes, no.
No, no. He's just a guy who's been around, who has a lot of experience, has thoughts. And instead of, you have a lot of the same sort of guys in the organization. At least that's the perception of it. And so
they're all computers.
I mean, I guess, but it's, you know, so you, ideally you would have another guy in there, but Pedroia is not going to be that guy. Cause I think Pedroia would ultimately like, hey, I want to have final say, whether it's as a manager, whether it's as a GM, whatever it is. And that's the, yeah, they would love for him to do that, but there is not a scenario right now where that's a fit.
Do you believe the Red Sox when they say not on the table, the firing of Craig Breslow? And in other words,
right now, yes.
Are they going to let him exist through the trade deadline?
I don't think, yes. I think that this is pretty cut and dry to me. If you're giving them a vote, if you're giving him a vote of confidence right now, it's saying we're going to trust you through the trade deadline, but with a big but, we're talking about June and July. I don't know how you get to the end of the year after making this momentous decision, mm-hmm. this decision, which is, there's no room for interpretation. This is putting a bullseye on them, on the front office. We did this because we thought this would make this team, which we said has World Series aspirations, have World Series aspirations.
Yeah.
And if you get to the end of the year and that doesn't happen, where you made this move, which has never happened in baseball,
yeah,
you're firing five coaches and a manager,
yeah,
then everybody's job should be up for investigation.
What was the thing you took the most outside of the one comment where you talked about Breslow's job being safe? What did you get the most out of that Sam Kennedy interview?
Well, I mean, I think the Roman thing was kind of interesting.
Yeah,
right?
Straight up apologizing.
Yeah, but it's, you just can't, here's the thing, like, you just can't do that. Like, this is, you, and I know that Sam said, hey, I got the, whatever, the status report in front of me. It is, and we all knew, you shouldn't know by now. Everybody knows that a strain and a tear is the same thing. You just cannot defend, you had an hour from the report to when you went on the radio.
Yeah.
You cannot come out and say that is definitively not a tear, because ultimately what happens is exactly what happened, yep, with Roman Anthony. People hear sprain, it's one thing. People hear tear, it's another.
So they, Roman, by the way, no update again today, right?
He was running the bases. So.
Oh, that's good. But Crochet.
No update. No
Crochet update. On top of it, you just spoke to, and he's trying to correct a record from a couple days ago, right?
Yeah, he said that his lat had gotten worse, and it wasn't his lat. It was basically his shoulder hadn't progressed like they had hoped. And, you know, so now he said, I think the biggest thing to take out of when we met with Crochet right now is he's like, world, he's an All-Star break. You know, no, I'm not coming back before the All-Star break. There's no scenario where that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that's a setback. I mean, he said there's no setback, but they...
No. Yeah, but no. Basically, we're saying, because we were saying, how does a lat get worse when you didn't do anything with a lat? And he's saying, no, it was misinterpreted, or whatever you want to say. It was not the lat. It was not. It's still a shoulder. The shoulder hasn't bounced back like they had hoped. And that's where we've landed, where we land.
When do you think he'll be back? Like, if just from
August?
Wow. And what's the point then?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, you go back to spring training, and I've said this a bunch of times. Last year's spring training, at the end of February, he's throwing 100 miles an hour in simulated games. This year is up and down, and you know you had that workload. It didn't seem quite right all along, and then you land in April, and then you still haven't pitched for the manager that you've had for 2 months. And so, yeah, I mean, you have to – if you get to August and you are out of it and you have any question about that capsule – and to me, guys, that's another thing that's scary. Google capsule in a shoulder. There's been a lot of progress in terms of treating this.
Yeah.
But about 5-10 years ago, if you had a capsule – forget about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But so anyway, it's not great. And what's bizarre is that he's kind of the least of their concerns right now.
Yeah, right, right. I mean, they've. I mean, right. It's probably like 15th on the list.
Well, sort of. But since he's been out there, starting ERA is like 4 or something, right? I mean, Early and Toley have been less good. I mean, if you had an Cy Young candidate
the problem.
In there.
That's the problem, is that you can't keep leaning on Early and Toley and say, go get him. Right. We're gonna score 2 runs a game,
yeah.
And you hold it down. And
Rangers on a 90 pitch count. I mean,
yeah, Ranger Suarez and Sonny. I mean, it's almost like they're taking on water. The starting pitchers are doing everything they can. But as we said this, when they did the whole run prevention thing, this is not sustainable for an entire year. Right. If you want evidence of that, go across the field and talk to the Texas Rangers, who tried to do that exact thing last year and ended up at 81-81.
All right, so Rob, it is hard to gauge how good of a job Chad Tracy is doing, because obviously we don't think right now the team as put together. I mean, he'd have to be a miracle worker to all of a sudden make all of this work, to have any kind of expectation that he could turn things around. But I want to know, just from what you've seen in the locker room and the way that they're functioning behind the scenes, they are a historically bad team, yet I'm not hearing a ton of complaining or drama out of the locker room. Is that a credit to Chad Tracy, or how can you gauge how well of a job or how bad of a job he's
doing? I think he's done a fine job with what he's been given.
Okay.
That's
what it feels like.
Yeah, and a big part of this was communication, was the little things. And I think in-game manager, he's done fine. I mean, there's been some bullpen hiccups, whatever it is. But I think ultimately, Rich, what this is, what the Chad Tracy dynamic also represents, is that this isn't about Chad Tracy. Much like this probably wasn't about Alex Cora and all those coaches.
Yeah.
This was about the roster that was put together. And everyone's talking, we're back at Fenway Park, congratulations, and you're back at Fenway Park, and everyone's trying to figure out, why are you so bad at Fenway Park scoring runs? And Isaiah kind of Falefa, when he got up there, I think he was just trying to be a leader, trying to be a guy, trying to solve a problem that a lot of people thought was unsolvable. Here's the solution. You need better hitters who hit better at Fenway Park.
Yeah.
That's it. Yep. I mean, that is it. This roster is not conducive to hitting in the place. You play 81 games, and maybe they'll score 10 runs tonight, and they have before, pants off, tarps off game. You know, like
if they had Alonso or
by the way, kilts off.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh yeah, you should see what I got underneath mine.
Yeah.
Just a swaying of to and fro. I'm dragging these things like I'm bowling ball.
So when people say tarps off, while the Scottish people, what is this? Oh no, well, you know, if they score over 10 runs, it's kilts off. That's the tradition.
That's right. Yeah. You don't want to see that. According to the people we've been interviewing, you don't want to see that.
No.
Hey, can you stick around for one more segment?
Yeah,
only
sure.
A 2-minute break. All right. 2 minutes, we'll be back. We'll take your call. Calls for Rob Bradford, 617-779-7937. 2 minutes, we'll be back. 7WEI, Rich, Ken, and Rob Bradford. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. We are live from Fenway Park, and we are broadcasting from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball in that dirty water. And during the break, I was just showing Ken and Rob this picture. It's something that we could see ourselves if we just step out and walk into the stadium. But it is so freaking weird to see Fenway Park with the Citgo sign completely missing the center of it. Like, the red center is completely gone. There is a hole right in the middle of the Citgo sign. And what did you say that symbolized?
That was their soul.
The soul of the
team.
It's hollow. It's soulless right
now. Doesn't it kind of feel that way? It's like,
it's weird. Everything's off.
Everything is off. That should not be that way. And much like, you know, we're not used to, kilts are here. There's no hole in the middle. There's no thing in the middle of the Citgo sign. Like, the Red Sox are 12 games under 500.
Right. It's like this season was directed by David Lynch.
Raining
cats, like, everything's
and dogs.
Just off and like weird and kind of nightmarish. All right. Let's go to David on line one. He's got a question for you, Rob Bradford, about a podcast you did with Mike Lowell. What you got there, David? What's up, buddy?
Hi, David.
Rob, I listened to the interview you did with Mike Lowell earlier in the week, and it was excellent. And some of the things that he was saying in terms of the roster and the lineup, I think kind of, you know, addresses the question you had of, you know, is this team, you know, constructed to play in Fenway? He was talking about if you had Alonso in the middle of the lineup, if you had Bregman in the middle of the lineup, and why didn't they go after those guys? And he also said something which was very telling was they didn't go after them because of money. And, you know, they've made so much money, you know, in terms of the valuation of the team. How much money do they need? So anyhow, I just thought it was an excellent interview. And I think
bet your ass it was, David. That's Rob Bradford doing that interview.
Yeah, thank you. I'm available for mediocrity usually, but every once in a while, I'll surprise somebody.
But that's a good question. And Ken was raising this earlier. It's like, how much better is this team if Bregman's here? Like, just give me one. Give me one. Give me Bregman. How much better are they if they
win? I think they're, you know, I don't know about wins and losses. I can't. They're better. And everyone who say he's having a down year, well, okay, that's fine, but I don't think that has correlation to this, because I looked it up the other day. I think he has 60 balls pulled at Wrigley Field so far this year. Only 8 of them have gone for hits. If you look at how many more hits he would have at Fenway Park, he's one of the biggest dead pole hitters in baseball. Mm. And that's the guy they tried to make Caleb Durbin before Caleb went to your guy Lorenzo. And Bregman was that guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about how much of influence he had on, we know, the most valuable commodity, Roman Anthony. And I was just talking to someone over the Rangers. I said, don't you think that it's worth $10 million in a no-trade clause to have a guy who is going to make your most important commodity that much better?
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And what the caller was talking about was, yeah, and Lowell brought up Derek Lee. He's like, when Derek Lee went to Chicago, he's like, I knew that it wasn't going to work out. He dominated in Miami. I knew it was going to work out. And then another thing Lowell said was, like, it was the same thing I've been screaming and yelling forever, which is when I was with the Red Sox, and even the years after the Red Sox, when they wanted a guy, they were going to get a guy.
Yeah.
And that obviously has gone out the window, and they're paying the price for it.
All right, so when you take a look at the players in this team, like, who is – because, I mean, you talk about Bregman and how, like, there were, you know, he would help out other players. He seemed to be a good influence in the locker room. Who's, like, who's the guy? Like, who's the guy in that locker room now that everyone looks to and says, lead us?
Well, Wilson Contreras is as close as you're going to get. But, again, he is a first-year guy, isn't the same personality as Bregman. He's a guy that you want to get in the middle of a bench-clearing brawl. You want that guy. Everybody, he's a great guy to have. I kind of look at him as like Adrian Beltre when he was here for a year. He's a great guy to have, but you need more of that. You need and then when you say before the year, who were the leaders, and people would say Trevor Story. Okay, that's fine. Number one, he's a quiet guy. Like, he'll pull you aside and help you, sure. But also, when a guy isn't doing well, he doesn't lead. Like, that is one thing that people should get around their head.
Yeah.
That when a Jaron Duran is hitting, like, his OPS is 550, it's hard for guys to, hey, let me show you how to do it. It just doesn't happen that way.
You just were talking about how you talk to some of the guys on the Rangers, and I know that when you're covering the team, you speak to some of these other teams and you know, whether it be the coaches or the managers or it be the players. What do other people, other teams think about the Red Sox?
Well, first of all, they have a million questions. Like, what the heck is going on?
Wow. Okay.
How could that happen? Like, what? It's the same because what they did in April had never been done before. And never mind the fact that the one of the people involved, the manager, is perceived as a top five manager in baseball by the people who you're talking to.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I've got from them. Whether, you know, who knows, like, the intricacies about from the front office to the manager, but this from the outside, from these teams that come in, when they ask the questions, like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
And then as you said, I mean, they talked to some of the guys, and I think that everybody is they're just been swimming upstream the whole time.
Yeah.
And we can say, and that's the thing, when I was talking to Jones and Keefe yesterday, that's the thing that I don't understand. How can anyone say that this move was the right move to do? Because where you've landed 2 months later isn't any better. It just isn't any better. And don't give me, hey, you know what? You won, you know, 3 more games. No.
That is an underrated storyline. I mean, now that you mention that, the fact that really what improved? Like, what was your plan?
Well, you can say, oh, the offensive improved slightly. Well, who's to say the offensive wouldn't have improved slightly anyway? And by the way, when these guys are not going well, it would behoove to have them to have somebody who has gone through the battles, who went through spring training with them, for them to sort of go to instead of an outside guy or picking up the phone call to somebody.
Yeah.
So what happened, why they were able to keep their head above water for that first month or so a little bit better, is because the pitching went from a 5 ERA to a 2 ERA, and that has nothing to do, forget about Alex Cora, that has nothing to do with the five coaches who were fired.
Are there teams that are salivating for when they can reach out to Alex Cora when he feels like he's ready to manage?
Yeah, I mean, if I think you're Kelce. I mean, go to Kelce, and I would.
Oh, I haven't even looked. That's
no, but I would imagine if you could do something that whatever Alex Cora, Phillies manager in whenever lockout ends, it would be like 85%. I would imagine. I mean, he already turned down the job, and that's understandable because you want to make sure Dombrowski's going to be there.
Next Phillies manager, Cora, 19%.
All right. Well, is that the favorite?
No, Mattingly.
Really?
34%.
Mattingly's doing a pretty good job, isn't he?
Yeah, but unless they win the World Series, like, I don't know if Mattingly's going to want to do it.
Also, David Ross, 11%.
Oh, no. Cora's ahead of David Ross.
For Philly, I don't know.
By the way, I do know. by the way, Boston's next manager.
Yeah.
Kelce has that.
Yeah.
Right now, 29% Chad Tracy. Rocco Baldelli.
And my man, yeah, right, Rhode Island Rocco.
I like Rocco. He's a good guy.
He's with the Dodgers currently, right? He's doing some kind of consulting.
Yeah. He's doing stuff with the Dodgers. I mean, I think that what we should do is if Noah was really on his A game, by the way.
Get Rocco in the field.
I mean, his brand has never been hotter.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Read audio on like week one. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
And getting Theo on text. By the way, I have not hooked you up yet. I seem like I've talked a big game. Yeah. I have not given you your gift card. Uh-huh. I will do that next week, I promise.
If he tells you that they bring out the pizza in the third inning in the press box and that your payment, don't take that. So, I think that what you should do, you should give Noah a seemingly impossible task like you did, which he came through on.
He did.
And say, go get this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I would say, go text Dustin Pedroia and ask him why he's on Instagram right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you could do that. You're the one who got him on there.
I know, but it's a challenge for Noah.
Sure.
I'm here to make everybody better.
Why not? If we can get Dustin on the show next week, then we'll talk.
One quick baseball question before you go. Jaron Duran, Ken Rosenthal said today, if they do trade guys, Duran would be top of the list. I think that's obvious, but if they do move
Sonny Gray would be top of the list.
Okay. What is Brez looking to get back in return? Like,
well, that's the issue, because every time that he's come up in trade talks, you hear around Major League Baseball, the Red Sox are valuing him more than other teams. And that's the tricky thing with Duran. We see the best in Jaron Duran, and he goes on these heaters, and you're like, man, there's not a lot of players better than he was. Not a lot of players. He was a top 10 MVP guy 2 years ago. But then you see then go the other way, which is he is right now. It's a tricky one because, like, ultimately what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to accept that you're not going to win the trade by 80%. You're going to win the trade by 49 to 51%.
If they could get a right-handed hitting outfielder in AAA, like, I'd take that at this
point. Oh, Braden Montgomery?
They get just Nixon Garcia back.
But that's what we're talking about now, guys.
I know.
I mean, that's where
it's weird. That's where we are.
Yeah, but you know what? It is what it is.
And men in kilts and cool scarves. Yeah, and listen, you know, and bags on heads and balls of flapping. That's what tonight's theme is here at Fenway Park. All right, Rob Bradford, baseball isn't boring.
Looking sexy, by the way. Saved that goatee down to the nubs.
Yeah, well, it was an accident.
Damn it, I meant to do that on a
You're not far off.
I've been that guy before, but it was with my head.
Yeah.
All right. Well, appreciate you coming in, Rob.
All right.
And
thanks,
have fun tonight. 617-779-7937. We will take your calls next. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Did Canada win, by the way, speaking of Rush?
A draw. 1-1 draw.
Okay.
But that's a good thing in the World Cup, right? The last time the U.S. advanced past into the round of 32, they had like two draws and maybe three draws.
You know what? Yesterday I sat down and I learned all the rules of World Cup, trying to figure out like how the groups and everything work, and I have instantly forgotten how many points a draw is.
Yeah.
It's like I'm just going to go watch the game.
I think it's one, but if you get 3 points for the round robin, that's good. You probably advance.
All right. Well, yeah, it's like the two best teams advance, right? I guess. I think.
Yes. And some third place teams.
Cat's going to come in here and kick my ass from the Tartan Army.
Well, they've expanded this tournament like every other. It's now 48 teams.
Yeah, that's right. And like I think it goes to a bracket of 32 after this. Is that right?
I think that's right.
I think that's right. All right. Well, either way, we are down here at Fenway Park right now. It is hot and sticky. Legit good merch night. I just saw what they're giving away.
Oh, you liked it?
Green Monster scarf, not bad. Winner.
It's first 7,500 fans. You better be here quick.
I would say that's in a top three best merch. Definitely on the other end of the scale of the cowboy hat they gave away, which had a Red Sox baseball cap center, which I don't know how anyone, who's going to wear that out in public? Where are you going to put that in your house?
Yeah. Don't you think this is a troll job, though? They're giving out a scarf on a 90-degree day.
I mean, it's gonna be nice. The soccer fans in town. You gotta be all European with your super scarves.
Also, the bars are open until 3. What's the deal with the tea not staying open until 3? They're closing it at 2.
That is exactly what I said. The tea's, in my opinion, shuts down too early, and it always has. I mean, because all these bar workers got to be able to find their way home. Even when they shut down at 2, it's tough for them to do that because they have to close the place up. It sucks. That's the one thing that they got to get right. They got to be able to keep the T open longer.
That'll be a legit issue for international people in town looking to take the train that's closed when they get out of the bar at 3 a.m.
Oh, I mean, thank goodness for Ubers, I guess. But that does suck for the people who work at these bars and restaurants. You know, not all of them are staying up, and they're giving them the option to do that.
Yeah.
But I do find it amazing that, you know, we had Kat from Scotland on, and, you know, that game is 9 o'clock, like local time, 9 p.m. local time. And in Scotland, that means it's going to be on at 2 a.m. and the entire country is going to be up to watch it at 2 a.m. Think about how insane that is.
Yeah.
And what's so great is that, so it's 2 a.m. The game's going to be done at 5 a.m. But they're so into this soccer that the government has made Monday an official holiday. So you can have a hangover and sleep it all off because you missed the night before sleeping. All right. Let's get to some take grenades, shall we? Let's launch this.
Incoming!
Oh, yes. All day you've been going to the Odyssey app, pressing that microphone button and leaving us a little take grenade, a message that we play here in the 5 o'clock hour. It's brought to you by Milligan & Higgins, OUI and criminal defense attorneys. Go to MilliganandHiggins.com for a free consultation. All right, Stiz, launch us the first one, shall you?
Mom, we want Ted Johnson. Oh, kids, we have Ted Johnson at home. Ted Johnson at home. Kristen Arkham.
Arkin's a little smaller, same size head though. Arkin has a giant dome, and so it's hard to tell sometimes.
We're gonna play it next week because we just haven't gotten to it. This week has been so busy, but Jackson went to the Pride parade, and afterwards, you know, there's a bunch of people to come, and he brought pictures of you, me, and Ted.
Oh, did he really? That's awesome.
And did a scouting report.
Oh, that's gonna be brutal.
And the descriptions that they didn't tell who they were or who we were. It was basically like, what do these people do? Who are they? Tell me their story. The stuff they said about Ted is just awesome. It's like, I mean, because they would talk about you and me and say whatever.
Insignificant Ted. Johnson.
But then you would see Ted, and I, like, several of them just went, whoa. let me think about this one for a moment. All right, let's hear another grenade. Let's go.
This is for all you bozos listening to this radio station. If you think that Jaylen Brown is a better basketball player than Jason Tatum, and you want to trade Jason Tatum, kindly see yourself to the back exit and never talk basketball again, because you don't have a single clue. He's a far superior basketball player, and he doesn't come with all the nonsensical baggage that Jaylen Brown does off the court. Send him on his way, bring in Giannis, and let's go after another title.
Listen, Tatum's better, but not by much.
Not far better.
Yeah.
That's incorrect. But everything else in that call is fine.
But the baggage, I think, is starting to become significant enough to where people just don't even consider Tatum being a guy that you would trade.
And I think Tatum's probably annoyed at the least by all the Jaylen chatter this year, don't you think? I mean, the fact that he didn't come on the stream, I think, is something. The fact that ESPN called Jaylen out for not having him on the stream and he still didn't come on the stream. I worry if you keep them together, if it's sustainable this year. I really do.
I think Tatum has surrounded himself with very smart people who are not only looking out for him, but also understand that he is a business. And if he continues, if you play this right and you don't run your mouth and you don't make enemies, you don't say that this is like you don't comment immediately after one of the most emotional endings to a series that you've ever had, like just an absolute embarrassing thing. And you don't just like start letting like your id take over and just say things that you didn't even think through. then you don't end up having the kind of reputation that Jaylen Brown does. And that's because Jason Tatum seems to be surround himself with good people who wants what's best for him.
And also, you don't have to hate Jaylen Brown, but it's the NBA. Stars move. This is what happens. These guys have been together for 10 years. That's incredible. What a run.
Yeah.
In the NBA, for two guys like this to sustain for 10 years, it was a hell of a run. It's time to tweak things.
That's pretty, yeah, it's pretty unheard of. All right, let's go to the next take grenade, shall we?
That segment with the soccer lady was interesting, but Rich, just, you know, be careful, because I was catching some, like, Deanna Russini, Mike Vrabel vibe.
What?
Take a step back.
Whoa. Yeah, you guys are hooking up for a meet and greet tonight, right?
No, we are not. We are not. I would love to go drinking with the Tartan Army. There's no question.
Sounds exactly like someone who wasn't going meet, or who was meeting up, would say.
Oh, you guys had a playlist?
A hot tub in Arizona?
What's that? Oh, yes,
hot tub
yes.
In Arizona?
Well, there's no question. We're going to go rent a boat in Tennessee and go hang out there. God, it's just... The videos keep coming out. They're showing them on TV now. Like, now, like, everyone's, like, catching up. Like, they were down over at Government Center. And it's just, like, they're hanging from buildings and stuff.
Watch the pork chops the book.
That's what the pork chops are for. I still don't know what he said there. All right, let's watch. Let's do one more take grenade, shall we? Let's
go. You guys are talking about the Scottish and going to the game and wearing the kilts with nothing on underneath and the heat and everything. And you, oh my God, you said it was like Laffy Taffy. I almost drove off the freaking road. Good stuff. Keep it coming.
I mean, it's like, I just love how the very first comment, I mean, Noah's a stranger. Our intern's a stranger. Goes up, goes, hey, I'm with the radio. Can I talk to you? Goes, these nuts are flopping underneath this thing. I don't wear nothing.
It did get intimate fast for the intern, yeah.
He went from zero to, let me tell you about my balls. Oh, man. Okay, maybe we should do top five nationalities I want to drink with.
Oh.
Let's rank it. Turn the music down. Maybe give me some Family Feud or something. Top five nationalities that I want to drink with. Okay. Number one's... we'll put Scottish in the top five. They're definitely in the top five.
There's no doubt.
I've drank with plenty of Irish before. The Irish are great.
And Australia, I would think, has got to be in there.
Yeah, Australia's got to be in there. I don't know. Our guy from Haiti called in, and that seemed like that could be a blast.
Now, you went to Germany for Oktoberfest.
Oh, well.
How was that?
It was unbelievable. So, Oktoberfest, the great thing about Oktoberfest is it's a gigantic, you know, there's beer halls. You've seen them before.
Mm-hmm.
And there's beer spilling everywhere, and everyone's in these kind of like, you know, the hot, I forget what you call them, the Lederhosen. Everyone's in the Lederhosen. And by the way, you have to show up in Lederhosen. If you don't, like, you will get mocked. Because I was like, am I going to go there and it's going to be like cultural appropriation? It would be like somebody showing up in America dressed as a cowboy or something like that. And they're like, no, you legit need to do it. And sure enough, you go there. And if you wear like the fake stuff, they shun you. So you got to wear good Lederhosen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's people puking all over each other, spilling beer all over each other, and not one fight. It's really one of the best environments that you could possibly be in. How you could, if that was to happen anywhere in like Southie or wherever like that, you know how many people are getting like punched in the mouth?
Yeah.
What was great too is that when I went to the restroom, it's like the old Fenway. It was a trough. It was just like a big trough in front of you. It's not urinals. It's like a giant trough. And because it's Lederhosen, there's a bunch of people there like using the bathroom like they're 2 years old with their pants all the way around their ankles. And they're just sitting there. I saw one guy use the restroom, throw up in the trough, and then just like continue to use the restroom.
So it is top five or it's not top?
Yeah. Well, so I've done that, but Germany's great.
And by the way, that might be a hot ticket for Pats fans. I do think if you're going to make a road trip, you're tempted to go to the Detroit game in Germany.
Munich is a great city. Now, it's not during Oktoberfest, but it doesn't matter.
Mid-November?
It's still going to be awesome.
You know who's
it's
fun better to than... drink with is Puerto Ricans. My best friend is Puerto Rican, and his family is the best.
But that's American, so you know, I'm trying to think of different nationalities.
What about Russians?
Ooh, I just have a feeling like you're going to die.
Yeah.
Like you're going
it's risky, but...
They have tolerances that are legendary.
Right.
Like, from what I hear.
How about the Finns? Like, did you ever drink with Tuca?
Never drank with Tuca. I will say that I went on vacation one time to Denmark. I went to Copenhagen. And the great thing about people in Denmark is that it doesn't matter how old you are, you're partying. Like there was like a bunch of like old dudes who were like in their 70s wearing Iron Maiden shirts out like drinking and hanging out like on the streets. There were old ladies in groups. Something about like
the Viking culture.
I guess the like insurance there or the pensions that they get, like it's one of the happiest countries, and it doesn't matter if you're young, old, what race you are, whether you're gay or you're straight, everyone's partying together.
And you all get massive wallies.
And you get your massive wallies.
Now, the English, I assume there'll be some English soccer fans in town. Harry Kane and the boys are coming in. However, there's a rivalry with Scotland, and they also are like a different breed of drinkers. There's definitely violence there. It's definitely outdoors. It can turn at a moment's notice. It seems more volatile.
Yeah, I guess. Canadians are fun to drink with. We've done that before. I mean, they're good. I've drank in Mexico before with Mexicans. They're great too. There's really not many nationalities I wouldn't want to just go out drinking with, to be quite honest.
That's something.
I mean, it's kind of what Anthony Bourdain did for a living for a while. He was kind of living the dream, wasn't he?
Got to miss some trouble with
him. Yep, yes he was. All right, 617-779-7937. We will sweep the leg and take your calls next. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. You can call us at 617-779-7937. What are we listening to there? What is that?
That is Syracuse's own brand new sin.
Oh, okay.
Wow, deep cut from Jax.
I've never heard them before.
I used to tour with them when I was in a band. Brag.
Really? Oh, by the way, I wanted to play your band today. I want to hear some.
I was going to say at some point Jackson will just play his own music without asking.
I requested that. I want to because he sent it to me yesterday and it was like, dude, are you the guitarist?
No, I play bass.
Okay, because your guitarist is like Zach Wild, my man, with the artificial harmonics. He's like, whoa!
Yeah, was this it? No picks either.
Listen to Jackson, how much he shredded. Listen to this guy. You're ready. There it is.
Oh, there it is. Pinch.
Oh, it's Zach Overload there. I love it.
Nice job, Jackson.
Very good, Jackson. What was the name of your band?
Truman Highway.
Truman Highway. What does that mean?
That's the street that we all grew up on.
Oh, okay. All right. And not a very metal name, but the best metal bands don't have metal.
Well,
names.
No. Here you got to hear the background. Harry Truman dropped the nuclear bomb. We drop a bomb on the audience.
Ooh.
Look out, audience! Here comes Truman.
Oh, you're dropping bomb on the audience.
And that the song's called
like Whoop. These ones between my legs.
That sounds like right out of Spinal Tap.
Stiz, real quick, can you play that clip of the guy who Noah went out and talked to some of the guys from the Scottish Tartan Army, and the first thing he starts talking about is, look at how big me testicles are. do you have that clip by any chance?
I'm gonna get massive bullies.
My testicles, they're like the boulders from Indiana Jones.
They never wear pants under a coat.
No pants, and I just throw these things over my shoulders. I'm like Santa Claus.
By the time...
Ho, 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 I got me ball sack. What's he want for Christmas, kid? Smaller balls.
By the time Monday comes and we're back on the air, how many Scottish incidents in the city will we have to talk about?
Oh, I mean, you just
none.
Had the best
tweet
ever. We
are peaceful people, Ken. We are very peaceful.
No, in the best way possible. What was the tweet you had?
Well, our girl Kwani Lunas, who works for NBC Sports Boston, just tweeted that there is a Scottish woman walking through Mattapan. Just a factual observation.
They're everywhere out here. It really is kind of fun, to be quite honest. All right. 617-779-7937. Fenway Park. It is, it's hot, but I think it's cooling down a little bit. Beautiful out here.
It'll be a great night.
It will be a great night. Hopefully they can turn things around. People are in it's wild. For this team being so bad, people are in a pretty good mood. I don't know if that upsets me. I kind of wish that people were a little bit more angry.
That's what I was trying to say earlier, and John chastised me that, you know, how dare I say that people don't care about this. People have stopped caring for years about this team or whatever he was ranting about. But it's going to be – this weekend will be a fun atmosphere, and it's a diversion for the Fenway Sports Group because they don't have to deal – head on with angry Sox fans because it's just a lighter weekend.
Well, it's also a weekend that, and I think Rob Bradford even said it, I think the reason the mood is so good is that how many of these people are out-of-towners?
That's what I said, yeah.
This is not a Red Sox. I mean, there's some Red Sox fans, but there's just a lot of people who came here, from other countries.
And they're all getting massive wallies.
And with their massive wallies, very look festive, at the massive wallies.
Festive wallies. But in 2 weeks, when the World Cup's pretty much done and the Yankees are back in town, then it gets serious. Then it'll be like angry, if not apathy at that point.
I hope so. I just as I said, I hate watching bad baseball, and it's been pretty bad. I mean, there was that little slight comeback they had in their last game against Tampa Bay, but that sucks. As I said, it's water in a desert. Let's hope that they're able to pull something off. And it just doesn't seem like anyone's coming back soon. Roman Anthony doesn't sound like it until after the All-Star break.
They've stopped giving updates on Roman Anthony. He was asked again today, no update.
Yeah, well, that's probably smart because it bit him in the ass last time. They gave it and they classified it the wrong way. All right, so you have the ratings for game four?
Yes. Is this part of the sweep the leg? Do we have any?
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. You got a little sweep the leg intro? That way I can get the little plug in there. Let's see.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
Oh, yes. Sweep the Leg, brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. Also, this drive home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So I know that game three, that's the game, of course, where there was chaos on the outside. There's that word again. And you ended up having a Knicks team that lost. That game had like 25 million viewers, which was insane. That is a NFL type number that they threw out there. And I didn't think game four was going to be as big, but I knew it could be close. So what do we get?
Pretty big. So still the best rating for a game four on ABC ESPN ever, the most watched game four ever, 20.9 million average audience, peaked at 23.2, the most watched NBA Finals game since 1998.
You know what's crazy about that game? It's going to go down as one of the greatest of all time if the Knicks win. It's going to go down as one of the greatest games of all time. And I guarantee you there is a huge chunk of that audience that turned that game off at halftime didn't turn it back on. Yeah, who went to bed, just forgot about it. And if you didn't have like
pulled the Mark Wahlberg and just walked your way out of the stadium.
Right. And if you didn't have a friend that called you, or if you weren't on social media before you went to bed and you were just like, you know what? I don't want to see the Knicks get, you know, if you're a Knicks fan, I don't want to see the Knicks get their ass kicked. Or you're like, hey, I'm feeling pretty good. I bet that if it was fairly close, that would have been a lot higher. I bet it would have been like 24.
You did have Wu-Tang at halftime getting a lot of credit for the turnaround. People hung in for that.
Who's left in the Wu-Tang Clan?
I think everybody
most
except
of them.
The ODB, right?
Yeah, everyone except ODB.
But were they all together? Do they still all tour together?
Oh, yeah. They just went on a pretty big tour last summer, I believe.
Who was your favorite, Stiz? I know that you, obviously, being an MC, like, which one was your favorite?
Out of the Wu-Tang Clan? Method Man.
Yeah. Method Man was your favorite.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not a big Wu-Tang Clan guy, but I know enough to know that Method Man was probably my favorite as well.
And also, all you got to know about the Wu-Tang Clan is they're nothing to mess with.
Yes, they are not.
Thank you, Stiz.
I went to a Jizzah show with Wiggy one time.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They was up at Bernie's Beach Bar, right?
Yes.
Yes, we got to watch some of that. That's pretty cool. And that, so I think they all tour separately, right?
How's Jizza on his own?
I mean, I had a great time.
there was one of them's directing movies right now.
RZA.
Right? Oh, it's RZA. Okay, so RZA was in studio one time, and I talked with RZA, and RZA helped do the soundtrack for, I think, Kill Bill.
Yeah, he did.
With Quentin Tarantino.
Pretty good actor too. He's in a few movies.
I worked Jizza with Wiggy, Max Lane, and Greg Hill. I mean, what a crowd!
Sick brag there. By the way, when is Rich going to the movie this weekend to see Disclosure Day?
I am so bummed.
You're not going?
I bought advance tickets to go see it tonight, and the person I was going to go with is out.
You go by yourself anyway. What the hell?
That person is my son. Oh. So now I'm doing something else with him. He can't do it because it's too long. That he has to be somewhere later on. So there is a chance.
He's out of the will.
Tomorrow morning, I might wake up and go see it on my own. Like, I might actually see, like, if
the 11 a.m. show.
Yeah, like, I'm going to be the loser by myself at, like, the 9:30 or 10 a.m., the very first one you can get.
Yeah.
But I really can't wait to see Disclosure Day. I guess it's got, like, 80-something percent positive on Rotten Tomatoes. Excuse me, Rotten Tomatoes, which, you know, there you go. And then,
as you're driving out in the morning, listen to Ken and Curtis. We're back on Saturday, 11 to 1. So
nice.
A 2-hour special tomorrow. So we'll try to entertain and keep you updated on any Scottish behavior tonight. I'm sticking for the game.
Excellent. Tomorrow night will be a split screen night for me. I will be watching half Scotland and
Paraguay.
Half, of course, it's Paraguay. But that Knicks game, it would be so awesome if the Spurs were able to come back. It really would be fantastic.
Even forcing the game six, which I don't expect at this point, but that would be fun because then you go back to New York, that's a scene in and of itself, and it will be nerves. I mean, it's amazing how one game switches everything in the NBA Finals.
What does your Kalshi say about the odds tomorrow night? Because, I mean, you know, home court, I don't know how much that matters. I don't know how you can recover from being that demoralized from that loss. I mean, you are on the other side of the most historic basketball loss of all time. I don't know how you can bounce back.
Spurs are a favorite. I should check one of the.
But that's probably just because it's home court advantage.
Yeah, it is.
That's got to be it. And there can't be any real science to that other than just statistics. Well,
desperation, I would think, and just like everybody's on the Knicks praising them. There's a letdown possibility for sure.
Yep. And it's then, listen, closeout games, the toughest games, not a question. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for listening to us. Everybody, have yourself an amazing weekend. It is gorgeous outside. Get out there, meet some Scots. Talk about your clankers with them, because I'm sure they'll talk about them with you. Have a couple drinks. Enjoy yourself, or don't have drinks. You don't have to do that to have fun. But everybody, have yourself an amazing weekend. Ken and Curtis tomorrow. Red Sox baseball next. Let's go! Let's go, Tartan Army!
You never built pants under a coat.
You never know what's under the kilt, I tell you.
Everybody, have yourself an amazing weekend. Thank you for listening to us, as always. We love you. Physically.
Mostly.
But we'll see you again next week.
I'm going to get massive volleys.
Oh, you massive volleys. I'm going to run that. Stick it on me like a lappy tap.
Bye.